On the listener app and on your radio, this is Triple M's Rush Hour, JB and Bill. And to talk about round 8 of AFL action, Damien Barrett's in the studio.
Wrapping up the weekend of footy.
Get purple in here and discuss footy.
This is Damo's recovery session. Legends making legends at Builders Academy. Buildersacademy.com.au.
Hello, Purple.
Hello, Jim. Rabsy, Bill.
Damien.
What
do you got?
A Melbourne player at my house last night.
Yes.
It won't be hard for people to work out who.
He turned
to me and he said, Jacob Van Rooyen, and he says, that's not a reportable offence or a suspendable offence. I said to him, I've got to put my hand over my heart. I hadn't actually seen it,
right.
So I don't know. I have seen it since, and I agree with him. That's a footy action to me.
Well,
A clumsy footy action.
As we speak, it's worthy of a two-match ban.
Yeah.
He will, though, be one of three players taking his case to the tribunal, Jim, for that hit on Ballard. And, yeah, they're reasonably confident, Melbourne, that might be flushed through the system, through the tribunal system, to get him off. The guys spoke on the Sunday Footy Show yesterday. I was in a minority, and I think in a minority still, that it was worthy of 1 week. And I say that because of the clumsy element to it. But by reports today, Ballard will play next week.
Oh.
So
that's good.
That's the latest. Now, that can change, and that can sometimes be put out there just as an assistance to the player.
Did he leave the ground on a stretcher?
He did, and prior to that, he'd been accidentally contacted by Cozzy Pickett in a separate incident before half time. So he'd had a couple of knocks, but the club is saying it was a click to the neck, is how he described
which
it.
Which you worry about.
You do worry about, yeah. But again, the reports today are favourable, so that's good. Brad Close is going to take his sling tackle case against.
It was an interesting one because he fell with him.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He did. And he might have a mitigation case to mount there. And Nick Newman,
he
contacted Lachie Neal on the Friday night game and got him in the chin.
Right.
I'm surprised they're taking that one up. But
Me too.
They are. And so they're the three cases that are up. A couple of injuries out of the weekend. Bill, before we get on to the other stuff, the Dangerfield hamstring, yet to get the public diagnosis of what it is, but it is going to keep him out of footy for some time.
Well,
what that time
they got
means.
Four games and then the bye. So you'd think you'd nearly just say, right, we'll see you after the bye.
And it was 6 weeks he missed last year, wasn't it?
Did,
when they gave him the mid-season pre-season, and that was the making of him last year,
that's
wasn't
right.
it?
That's right. So I reckon it could be 5 weeks, to be honest. They've got some injuries.
Yeah, they do.
I just went through their list before. Henry, De Koning, Guthrie, Rowan, Stengel, Stanley, Close, Dangerfield.
And Guthrie's the latest, isn't he? With that, well, not the latest, but he's a big loss, isn't he?
Well, there's some good players. They're all from the premiership last year.
Yep. And still no sighting of Jack Henry, who had the foot injury in the
pre-season.
He's running. Okay.
Yes.
Yep. They were hopeful it wasn't going to be the absolute long term. Have you seen the fixture for Friday? For this round, there's two Friday night games.
Yes,
just for those who aren't yet to catch up.
Why?
With it. It's basically to mitigate the impact of Mother's Day on the Sunday. To take one game away from the Sunday. There's still two on the Sunday. Normally there's three, as we know, five on the Saturday, but two on the Friday night. So a West Coast second game on that. Positives. We'll go there first, won't we, Jim?
Yes, I like it.
I thought we'd just do it today through the lens of the player as opposed to the club. Look, Marcus Bontempelli's season to date has been quite extraordinary. He's got the 10 coaches' votes again, Bill, out of the weekend. They've just dropped. So, massive season for him. And a really good performance against GWS. And he just controlled the first half of it. Got him going.
He is a superstar. Yeah. He's in the top two or three players in the game, if he's not the best player in the game.
Oh, I think he's been the best player in the game still. And I reckon he has been for 5 years, Jim. And I think the only downer he had was last year when he refused to publicly concede he had an injury.
Yep.
And he refused to also publicly concede he had an illness. And they conspired to work against him last year. He still toiled through and hard and was very good, but very good by him is still down on what it normally is, but he's back to the extraordinary best.
Yep.
Charlie Cameron, we discussed him a lot, but to have 26 goals after these 8 games and the manner in which he's playing, it's lighting up contests, isn't it? And helping Brisbane Lions get through to where they want to be. And that he's in a really nice position in the early stages of the season. So massive tick for him.
All Australian.
Yeah, has been before and is well on track to be that person again.
Who'd you give the votes to? Because I heard you talking about this too, Jim. I want Blues and Lions, Jack Payne or Josh Dunkley? Speaking of Charlie Cameron.
I went for Dunkley, but Payne's role was extraordinary. Yeah. Again, speaking of the Coaches Association
so what
votes,
were they?
Five to Dunkley and four to Payne from both coaches.
Okay,
it was 10 and 8.
That's about right.
Yeah. It's hard to argue.
He was good.
Love the Brody Mychek story. I know it's been one that we touched on a few times throughout the course of a year, but just to remind people that he missed 7 full drafts by all clubs in the competition. 7. He was 25 years old before he got picked up. Took him until halfway through 2018 to get his debut performance. And then he, as we know, maintained his place in the team in that year's grand final team from Collingwood. And has only missed 4 matches since and emerged out of yesterday's game with 5 key goals and one that might come second to Will Ashcroft for goal of the year. It may well be in the competition or conversation for it. But just the warrior that he is and how well he's performed. And it's great to see him, I think, emerge as best on ground.
Exactly. First time he kicked 5 goals. A bit like Tomahawk last week. First time he kicked 8. But Brody, first time he kicked 5 goals.
Yeah, it's been a few.
You love him to play with him. You just love to play with him.
So many Collingwood players you would go to war with, aren't there? Just speaking,
he walks off every footy ground having given it every single thing he has.
Yeah,
and that's what you love about it.
Just while we're on Collingwood, Rebsy, you mentioned a moment ago that Collingwood had sent out an email regarding the booing. Mm-hmm. I still haven't got it, so can you just enlighten our listeners as to what that contains?
I'm just going to get it back up on my phone.
Sorry, I didn't mean to do that. Here it is. It's just so this is released by the Collingwood Footy Club, and it's a
Ned.
It's a Collingwood captain Darcy Moore, senior coach Craig McCraig, and CEO Craig Kelly wish to address the booing which took place at the MCG yesterday. And this is in quotations from here. We apologise to the Sydney Swans and to Lance Buddy Franklin. The club does not support booing, particularly champions of the game. Yesterday was the first time we played at the Swans in a decade. At the G, it provided an opportunity to respect the champion of the game, and we fell short. Buddy is a great of Australian football. What he has achieved on the field over a long period of time demands a high level of respect. To our members and supporters, we are on an exciting journey at Collingwood. We do not take for granted the unwavering support you provide us at every game, home or away. Our fans turn up like no other. You're the 19th player. You're loud, passionate, you're emotional. We hope the next time we get the chance to witness a champion of the game, we treat them with respect, the same respect we ask for when it comes to our players and our champions. I think that's a pretty powerful statement.
It is. It's well written, and Ned didn't write it.
No, he didn't write it. But why did Buddy get booed? We can't work it out.
Look, there's a narrative being put out today that the Swans supporters last year booed Ginnivan on the boundary at the SCG. Now, does that make it right that Collingwood supporters want to reciprocate that act? I don't know, but that has been put out there today. I don't know, Bill.
Yep.
I mean, and that reference to that game that the Swans played for the first time in a decade, that game in question was the 2013 Adam Goods game where he was racially abused. Now, again, the fact they've actually referenced that in the statement, it just goes to show this footy club is on a very clear path and what it wants to stand for and everything. And even that statement alone, I mean, you do wonder, don't you? I take the view sometimes addressing it, Bill, and tell me if you've got a different view, that sometimes it almost fuels the issue. But having said
that, they had to come out and say something.
You felt they did, did you?
But they apologised, and it's not their fault. It's the bloody supporters. They've got to wake up.
I think
they've got to be better.
Quite cleverly said that in that
statement. But it's the supporters. It's like everything, mate. The online trolls and all that. You just shake your head sometimes, don't you?
Yeah, you do.
And I reckon they're like sheep, a lot of them. They just follow each other.
Yeah.
Oh, he boot. Next time he gets it, I'm going to boot too. Yeah.
You just wonder, though, in 10 years' time when Buddy has retired and you do reflect on it, and if you actually ask yourself, why would I boo him when he was 36 years of age? I just don't get how anyone could reconcile the answer to that question.
I'm with you. A break. More with Damo next.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
And you went for low-hanging sort of fruit. Yeah. So what are you doing today?
I'm double downing.
Oh, no.
Double downing.
Damien Barrett has stuck around all thanks to the Builders Academy. Legends, making legends at Builders Academy. Buildersacademy.com.au.
Not possible, the Bogan.
Yeah.
What else have we got, Purple? We're going the other way?
We'll just finish off on some positives. Love what the Power have done since losing the showdown, Bill. Five wins in a row now. And of their 6 wins for the year, 4 have been by less than 14 points. Mm. They've had a 2-point win, a 7-point win, a 5-point win, and a 14-point win. They're just putting it together. The most recent was the 5 against Essendon. And
lucky. Essendon were good.
They were good. They couldn't have done too much more, given they've got some injury issues as well. But Zach Butters, we've talked about Connor Rosie a lot, but Zach Butters is having nearly as good a year. And he, I think he got the 10 votes too, Bill.
Zach got 10, Rosie 6, and Miles Bergman.
There you go.
Lovely name.
Luke Jackson finally came good for the Dockers. It was always going to take time, and it was good to see him dominate a game. But I still felt, your boy, Jim, that Andrew Brayshaw might have been the most dominant player in that Dockers win
good
against
numbers.
Hawthorn.
I didn't see the game, but his last 2 weeks have been much better. It's amazing, a bit like you were saying with the Bont last year, when you actually get yourself pain-free and playing footy, it's so much easier to play.
And it was a knee, wasn't it?
Yeah, he had a tendon issue in his knee.
Yeah, he seems right now.
Did you see the headline of the paper last week about Luke Jackson? No action, Jackson. And then went
on the West.
Yeah, on the West, not here. And
they've been riding him very
hard. And then declared he was earning $78,000 per mark.
Yep.
Wow.
That was after 1 or 2 weeks. But just want to give a key out to Tim Taranto, who obviously has had some heat on him and some queries about the impact he's had.
Unwarranted heat too for mine.
Yeah. Look, I feel, Jim, he's probably leading the Tigers best and fairest. And if he's not, he's in there somewhere very high.
So people point out the fact that he's not a great user by foot, but he never has been.
No.
So that's not new news.
Yeah.
You know, that's always been he's had issues hitting targets by foot. But everything else he does is brilliant, I reckon.
And it would have been an even worse season than the one they've had to this point without him. So, again, a tick there.
And Dion Prestia, too.
Yeah.
A little meat.
And he's a good player.
When he's fit, Bill,
meatball.
I think you can still mount the case. He's, he's as important as anyone in that
bloody
team.
Oath.
As important as Tom Lynch, I reckon. So, and he was great in the weekend. Let's head to the negatives. Jim, you and I went to Cleveland many, many years ago to see what the commentators described. They described that game as the worst game in the top ten worst ever in the history of the NFL.
Professional era
I reckon
of the NFL.
North Melbourne St Kilda game yesterday.
6-3 it was. Two field goals to one.
It was no goals.
It was Cleveland v Seattle. It was two field goals to one. They said it's in the top five worst games in the professional era.
We read that article the next day.
I'll give you the halftime score.
We could vouch for it. Give me the halftime score.
St Kilda were 3-9. This is halftime. North Melbourne 0-7. Just 7 points.
And then 10 minutes into the third quarter, North was 10 points down or 12 points down. they got
by the look of it, I didn't see it, but I think they missed twice then too, didn't they?
Yeah,
they actually
did.
Could have got nearly level.
Yeah, I only had two goal kickers for the game, North. Three to Larkey and one to Stevenson out of the four they ended up with. Quirky incident in that period of time, Bill, where they were surging to a point or a contextual surging in North Melbourne and they gave away a free kick and Jai Simkin just decided to rip the GPS out of Mateus Philippou's back and throw it some distance,
really?
Which cost him a 50-metre penalty.
Right.
And probably helped
Did
swing the game back.
Did he get extra K's or metres because it went? Did that count, Owen?
I went to a meeting once at the end of a game, a team meeting at North. I won't say who the players were, but the coach was talking, all I could hear was this happening behind me, and I looked behind, and two players were sitting about 5 metres apart and throwing the GPS to each other to try and get some extra yardage before it went.
Oh, no. Zeeble and who?
It was a bit before Zeeble's time. Oh, Spud Ferreira. Great man, Spud Ferreira.
We touched on the Swans in terms of their loss to Collingwood. They've got a scoreline of 3-5 now. They were actually pretty impressive for three quarters against the Pies. Yep. And had they had some soldiers down back, they might have just given themselves a half a chance to pull off a pretty miraculous victory, given how well Collingwood is going. But at 3-5, they've set themselves a task. They've thrown two games away, that game against Port Adelaide and also that one against GWS when Toby Green kicked the match-winning goal and they kicked the last four to win it. So they're not too far off, but at the same time, they're now a long way back on the ladder. So they've really helped. I didn't like what they did. I'll rephrase that. I don't mind what they did with Nick Dacos, but you've got to then carry it through.
Exactly.
You've then got to get through the whole game. So I didn't know whether you saw it, Jim, but they attacked him before the game started. They then went into him after Ryan Clark, who was assigned the role on him, kicked the first goal for the Swans.
They went to him then.
And no surprise that Braden Maynard made sure he went and sorted a few things out.
Of course he did. He would have got straight in the bros.
He did. He loved it. Someone rang in and said at the game, Buddy was into Nick Dacos and pushing and shoving him. Right. So that's why Buddy might have got booed.
Okay.
And I
didn't see that on the coverage.
This was off camera and things.
But as a young budding star, Nick has got to expect that that's going to happen. Teams are going to put time into him. That's what happens.
He did. He just stood there, took it, didn't get involved in the pushing and shoving, let others do that. Yep. Maynard, for instance.
Gave away a free kick, they did, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. And then just had a good last quarter again, as he seems to do every single game.
It's a badge of honour for a young star that they're going to target him. That's what happens.
And then post-match said, we like it when they come to me. Yep. As in, the club likes it because it just means there's a whole somewhere else in that club's dynamic.
See, he didn't get votes.
No, but it wasn't that sort of game, Bill, and yet he still contributed.
I know, yeah. I know, but it, and he just sees kickings off a little bit. Yep. So you've got to have someone run with him. You just got to be careful how you do it and yep. all that, but I reckon that works.
Chris Fagan released a statement yesterday regarding the Hawthorn racism component. You can clearly read into it the frustration. It's on, if you need to see the full statement, afl.com.au at the moment. And look, the mediation component to it is close to happening, and yet at the same time, it's not, Jim. And, no. and there's some theory that unless they do that, it's just not going to be wrapped up quickly. I've had the view from the outset, and I've actually heard nothing to suggest it still won't be the case, and that is that the litigation beyond the AFL finding on this is just going to be a given in many and varied forms. And how Chris Fagan and Alistair Clarkson approach it, and how the people making the accusations also approach
it. Well, I read Peter Jess on the weekend saying some of the most ridiculous statements I've ever heard. Like, you know, when it comes to this sort of litigation, it's about the victim, not about the perpetrator. I'm reading it going, yep. but if the perpetrators are alleged to have done something they haven't done,
yep.
what is it? We just as a perpetrator, apparently, you just got to sit there and cop that. Yeah. Down. Or you turn around and go, listen, I'm not copping it because I didn't do it.
And that's the
fair enough.
That's the issue at play. Even with the independent panel established by the AFL last October, and we're now 7.5 months since this story dropped in grand final week, and there's been no right of reply to this point.
It's
and
ludicrous.
Yeah. I feel it's enough time to have at least had Chris Fagan and Alistair Clarkson in to give their versions of events.
I'm with you. And yep. the thing I always say to people is put yourself in those two gentlemen's shoes.
Yep.
To be 7.5 months into an accusation, and they are heavy accusations.
Which they are denying.
And to not have been able to once speak on your own behalf.
Yeah.
Imagine being in that situation.
You can't put yourself
in. You'd be headless. Yeah. And I don't blame both of them.
And equally, the people making the accusations too need to have their chance to have those claims heard in this forum, which was meant to at least somehow get to the bottom of it. But 7.5 months in, on the back of the establishment of the panel in October, it's already taken
that's what it is.
A time that is way too long than what the AFL wanted at the outset. So,
and I'm with you. I can't from here see how it's going to be resolved to anyone's satisfaction.
Yeah.
I can't see.
Buses?
Yeah, we'll send a few off again.
Bill. A few?
Yeah. A few?
Well, we're leaving those ones over in Perth. We'll just remove it from the Dockers operations and get it back to West Coast. And he gets more injuries this week than form because they're okay. They're okay up until the third quarter of their game against Richmond. So we'll remove that aspect of it. But we're going to keep that one in Arden Street too. They've had 6 losses in a row now. Jim, and then there's not a lot there, Jim.
Jim?
There's not a lot. I thought there was after 2 weeks. But
kick a goal.
Are you worried about
them?
Before
on,
we,
Jim.
I was worried about them when you finish 17, 18, 18 purple. There's clearly issues.
Yep.
And they're going to take a while for Clarko to unpack.
You've been going along and supporting.
I don't
go
along anywhere, Bill. I get one day off a week and I spend that at home.
You went to Lilydale instead of going to watch 50th. Kangaroos.
That was a mate's 50th.
You'd rather go to Lilydale.
At least he stays on for Triple M, though, Bill.
Yeah.
What do you mean? I was in Unlike the right you. Spot, the roster, and Skylighter here or whatever.
All right,
we
need to get to any other
Hawthorn is going to have a little closer look. At the Waverley Park. Yeah, they've had losses of 59, 81, 82, and now 69.
All right. Nice to see you, Purple.
Likewise, Jim.
That was Damo's recovery session.